this came to Helen, who was just this 67-year-old psychiatrist, you know, psychologist, who wasn't really much of a God person, you know, outwardly. And her boss, and, you know, they had a tough ego relationship, and this came in between them and then came out with their cooperation. And you just look at, you could see Helen's notes, and there's whole paragraphs that are written. Says, Helen, tell Bill this when you see him.
Oh, wow.
Bill is having trouble with this, and have him, you know, read this I'm about to describe to you. And she'll get a message for Bill. It'll be tell Bill, and then a paragraph, and then right back to where it picked up from the previous day or whatever.
But down to the detail of, you know, that guy that you wanted to pick you up in the taxi, but he didn't come and the other guy did come. I mean, you know, it's incredible detail. And that was just in that one sample page that you had posted.
Yeah, the detail, it just, you know, it teaches another thing that is mentioned in the course, but it's really illustrated in examples like that, which is that Jesus is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is in your mind.
Right.
And you know, connected to the dreamer of the dream. I mean, it's illustrated because if Jesus would talk about the guy in the cab, or, you know, this is awareness of the world.
It is. In minute detail. And it just has the potential to take you even deeper.
And also the personal nature of that kind of detail.
Yes,
that,
exactly.
The voice who wrote the book that I appreciate and study so much, you know, the voice from which it came, was that aware of the scribe's life. Mm-hmm. That means it's that aware of my life. Mm. I have now spent more time with this book than Helen. At least possibly. For sure in calendar years. Mm-hmm. So, like, wow.
Isn't that the reason why when you ask the Holy Spirit for help, it's always absolutely appropriate to you?
You bet. Thank you, Luann. That's right. That's right. It is an inside job. It's extremely personal. The fact that we can get together and chat with each other and nod our heads in the same direction on anything in this book is amazing. You know, on any book, but especially something this dense and this, you know, spiritual oriented, and something that has so many fighting words for the ego. And yet so many of us can get together and say, yeah, that's the truth. It says a lot about what we're dealing with here. You know, only by experiencing the book and the material can you have any faith, which is our work tonight, have any faith in what it's asking you to do. And that urtext, it was just another deepening of the legitimacy. I was already sold. You know, A Course in Miracles, you do not need to read the urtext. You do not need to. It's just more of the same. And it's surprising stuff that Helen heard from Jesus while she was scratching this thing down over 7 years. Things that came up in her life, and the fact that Bill was struggling with things, and analogies to Helen and Bill using Hitler and Jung. You know, they were psychologists, so it's got Freud in there and Jung and some other psychology terms that were kind of cleaned out. They had discussions of sex in there because, you know, Bill was very confused about sex. And Helen was attracted to Bill, but Bill was gay, and they both knew it. And they hated each other for the fact that they had so much in common and so much anger. I mean, what a twisted life and web that they wove. But this material did not get between them ever. Like all of us on the screen, we have different lives, and who knows if we would get along if we had to work together. But we get along because we found this common truth in this book, and it's written where we can accept it and gladly. And it's lightened each of our hearts in some way. And so the miracle of this is continuing to unfold. And we're just going to spend some more time tonight on this same miracle where this came into the world through Helen and Bill. Ostensibly, when you read the Ur text, A Course in Miracles is written for Bill. He really used it. It came at him sideways, but Kellen walked in his office and says, "Boss, I think I'm hearing voices. I'm a little concerned. I know this is possibly, a early psychological definition thing, but it doesn't seem like it. It just seems very peaceful. And Helen, why don't you write down what the voices are saying and show it to me tomorrow morning, and then we'll together decide whether you need to look at this further." Just okay. So they did their work, Columbia University, and Helen, sure enough, right away, the voice came back before she went to bed, and she scratched out the introduction to A Course in Miracles and brought it in. So, all right, Bill, this is what is this crazy stuff? Listen to this. And Bill said, "Why don't you do it again tomorrow, and I'm going to get the typewriter ready." He says, I think it's okay. They didn't know what they were doing. But after a couple of pages, they both had to resign that this was way beyond. It was coherent, cogent, beautiful, and touched them both right away. Like it touched me when I started reading it. I think that same thing happened to them when they started seeing these pages come out. It's so fun. And some things I'll be reading in the Ur text and go, wow, this is absolutely precious. And then I'll find out it's in the published version too.
Hmm.
It's just that there's so much in A Course in Miracles that, we just read right past because we're not in the mood for it, or we didn't get it, or we thought we totally understood it, or it was obvious in the book. And then you see it out of context, which is one of the good reasons we study this together. I will take you, and we'll spend 90 minutes on one paragraph. And I'm sure, I haven't done it, 90 minutes on any of these paragraphs until I come to this meeting and do it. And then we open it up and we can each receive more of the message more deeply. But with the Ur text, for me, looking at the handwritten notes and the scratched out words and the wondering what happened during the scribing, what was going on in their lives and stuff, I just pay a little more attention maybe. And, bing, I see something else.
Wow.
So, really, really fun. I'm a fanatic though. I love this material. Well, no. Timothy.
There was a big legal battle about the release of the Ur text material, and it went to court. And the Foundation for Inner Peace resisted having that material come out. Ken, in particular, was adamant against all of that personal, private material that gives you perspective if you've been a course student for some time. I recommend not starting with the Ur text just because it's Ur. You'll get lost, in my opinion. Learn some of the basics, and then when it's time, go to somebody who is solid and been doing it for a long time and say, how do I put this into context? I'm confused. And the judge ruled in favor of releasing the materials that were being held back by Foundation for Inner Peace because they photocopied everything in the early days.
That's how I got my copy.
Did you really? So you've got...
I got one of those photocopies.
Right. It'll be worth money someday. Anyway, the photocopy is what made it legal to release the stuff because the rule is a photocopy.
It was in public domain. They already passed out 250 copies.
And that was the name of that tune. Okay. Their ability to hold that back was then, by the courts.
Yeah. But you know what? There's 500,000 words in the book that's in your lap. It's roughly 500,000 words.
Yeah.
The Urtext has 40,000 more. But you're still 80, 90%. It's the same book. The whole workbook is the same, word for word, practically. You know, 99%. But the first 9 chapters or so, there's significant difference. But after that, it starts to smooth out, and by the time you get to the end of the text, it's virtually the same, and the entire workbook and the manual is all the same.
And Ken Wapnick explains that as Helen's pipes being rusty and then getting cleared out by continuous pouring of spiritual material through those pipes. And she got the hang of leaving the dregs behind and just letting the good stuff come through.
Yes.
And got very good and very pure at that and very comfortable.
And she stopped fighting the voice. Yeah. Helen wanted to be, you know, to fix it, to make it even better. The phrasing and things like that. She wasn't understanding what she was writing. She thought, well, this sentence would sound better if you move these words around. And the next day, the voice would say, you changed some of the words yesterday. Please change it back before we begin.
Yeah.
She didn't know what she was doing.
Helen was older than Bill, right?
Isn't that right? Yeah, I think that's right, by a significant amount. I don't know how much.
By a significant amount. So in a dynamic relationship where you've got a boss, a senior figure, male, significantly younger, there's the potential energy for a relationship, except that Bill is busy figuring out if he's coming out of the closet or not. Right? He still hasn't done that when he's doing all of his typing. That came a lot later, right? And then he died. She died of pancreatitis. I heard the end was kind of rough. And then he died on a beach in California. He had some sort of insight into the course, and he was just smiling his face off, they said. Went for a walk on the beach, had a heart attack that just killed him instantly, and he passed on. And the people said who knew him, you couldn't imagine a better passing on. You know?
It was actually the 4th of July.
4th of July. Okay, so a little memory lane there. Welcome to A Course in Miracles, everybody. We're going to be talking tonight about an aspect of faith and the very personal aspect of faith, the ability to use faith. We're going to try to harness that. Let's see if we can get anywhere near it tonight. This is a tool that you must use in your awakening. In your spiritual path, you go from facts and memory and habit, the whole world that you see and the way you think it should be done and what you've tried before all come quite naturally to you. But problem is a lot of times those things they don't work anymore, or they are burdened with frustration and failure or fear, in fact. And what we're talking about is the world's method for your happiness. And so you need to have a miracle occur where you switch your priority from having a better life, a better world, to having a better approach in your mind right now to the world you have. You're interested in this because you've probably along the way, I can't speak for Holly yet, but for everybody else here, and I think Holly, if not already, then soon we're going to learn that Holly has probably had a miracle or two along the way that she caught. And she had a thought of forgiveness where she put down the fight because she said, stop, for what? I made it up. I'm making up the harm, whatever situation it was. I'm making up the harm. And if I attack for it, I'm just making the harm as if it was a cause and more real and just burden in my life. And I don't need that. I could choose peace right now instead. See, that's forgiveness. The miracle is she made it up. Forgiveness is, I'm not going to follow the old pattern of anger, attack, guilt. I'm going to show up now, loving and peaceful, like it didn't matter and didn't happen. Yes. Yeah. So, it's, as the Course says a couple of times, readiness is not mastery. You can memorize every word in this book, and still, when you first stub your toe in a relationship or something, you can find the ego takes over, and all your spirituality is gone. Because your habits are trusting, and faith is in the ego. How you've grown, how you've grown up. Your parents is a model, your sister is a model, your best friend is a model, the stars on the television shows you watch is a model, and your ego's been taking notes the whole way through, thinking this is how I should live, this is what I should do, this is how I handle that. I handle it like my father handled it. Hey, maybe not, right? But these things come up very quickly. The patterns that have, keyword now, the patterns that, the patterns that have been built up become what's familiar and what acts first, speaks loudest. Now that you're going for a spiritual awakening, you're going to have to learn to have faith, keyword, in new patterns, keyword. But the reward is peace, a sense of lovingness, a sense of understanding, a sense of being truly helpful to those around you. A sense of keeping your head during the storm. A sense of people being attracted to you because somehow they just feel more comfortable with you. Because you're not panicking and feeding the weakness that they don't want either. That's a new pattern of thinking. It's listening to your Holy Spirit instead of following your unholy spirit. What's the difference? That's what we're going to look at tonight. What do I access, right? Where? What tool do I use? What leverage do I have against the pattern of my ego and my whole life and my family and my work and my friends and my most loved friends, how they would do it. And I don't want to do it their way anymore. The Course says I don't have to. It promises a more peaceful, powerful way. What tool do I use so that this is what I do with my mind? We're going to try to touch on that tonight. And this is a feeling, by the way, that we're going to discuss tonight. We're going to use a bunch of words, but we're after is you recognizing a feeling that you've already had. A sense of trust in the truth. That's what faith is. Faith is trust, but it's putting action on trust where you're committing to something that you think is true. Thinking in is not enough. Readiness is not mastery. It's not enough to have good thoughts. It's not enough to memorize beautiful sayings. It has to get more personal. So that something in you has awoken with a certainty and a conviction and a devotion. Isn't that what faith is?
Can I talk for a second or two?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what Jacqueline and I were getting into when we were here all by ourselves. And I had read paragraph 2, which I gather is what we're going to be doing today, but yep. Led me to paragraph 3. And that's when I realized that I absolutely believe every word in this book.
Wow.
And yet I haven't figured out how to make use of it. because what I do is I want to do what it says for me to do, but I don't have the absolute trust in the faith. That's the problem. So I'm trying to do both at the same time, and that does not work.
I get caught
back in my old patterns as soon as I forget, or as soon as I quit trying the new pattern.
My old patterns. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though I believe in the new patterns, and I've tried a maybe here and there, or imagine in my mind the new patterns of choosing peace, being patient, trusting, honest, trying actually to be literally gentle or patient or kind or open-minded and listen first before trying to have them hear me out. Wow, what a difference that is. New patterns, right? Even though I believe all that's good, sometimes the old patterns speak up first and loudest. Yeah. So that's what we've called in this meeting. We've called that a vacillation. First, I'm going to yell and scream and try my get my ego satisfied, and then I'll try to do my Course in Miracles as they're drying their tears and pulling themselves off the floor after my ego finishes with them. Then I'll come back with some holiness and patience and everything, and it'll all be really nice once they understand that I'm right, of course. And then I'll, yeah. So that's a vacillation. You just can't resist. You got to jab them once, right? Just jab them once for saying what they said. They never should have said it, and they knew it. Can't wait. Okay, boom. Here's something to take care of the blood and the tears, and now I'm going to be a good Course student now. Oh, my God. That's a vacillation, and it's chaotic because you're devoting to both, and you're mixing both. A little bit of attack, to be fair, you should hear my side first, and then a little bit of holiness. Okay, what did you really mean? After you say you're sorry, then I'll listen to you. Just keep punching till they say they're sorry. And then you listen to them? Is that what you do, Bunky? Okay. What we want to do, as indeed you want to start to appreciate the power and get your devotion up higher, which is what we're talking about tonight, being able to apply your faith. You do have a belief the Course is right. You do have a belief that the Course would improve everything about your existence. You can't read a book this big without that, but applying it. So your vacillations should at least get shorter, and you'll start to oscillate. The ego's still loud. It's still got a point to make. You're biting your tongue. But the Holy Spirit's so strong in you now. It's like, yeah, but what a waste. If I defend myself right now during this conversation with this person, I'll be attacked. Lesson 135 taught me. Lesson 135, right? If I defend myself, I am attacked. And if you defend yourself, you will put on the face of somebody and the voice level and the intonation of somebody who's been attacked. Is that fair? Did you know that? If you defend yourself, you behave fully because you believe it, that you've been attacked. So the other person, whether they meant it or not, now thinks that you think they're the enemy. So they're going to need to defend themselves, aren't they? Now you're really going to feel attacked. That lesson is a game changer. Good illustration of what the Course does in relationships. Wake you up to what the cost of the ego is. Things like that. You wake up to that, and you'll start to oscillate very quickly. And then pretty soon you realize the Holy Spirit's right. Love is way more effective in having a good day. Patience is way more effective. Honesty is so powerful, you can't believe it. The ego said, if I'm honest, I'll lose all my life. Course is teaching you, if you're honest, all the weapons will be dropped on both sides. You may have to duck a few times until they understand that you really mean it, that you're saying the truth. But it'll show up on your face, on your intonations, the content of what you do, what you say, and what you do, and what you think will be seen as consistent by the other person, and eventually the energy will come down, and they'll say, well, here's what I really meant to say. I'm sorry I raised my voice earlier, but I was upset. Things like that start to happen, and the two of you come back together. You're oscillating, and then you listen to the Holy Spirit, and then you become now a teacher of God. You start being trusting, honest, tolerant, defenseless. Defenselessness is the first. Well, I don't need to defend myself or anything. I wasn't attacked. Gentle, generous. You start to have the idea of patience. Pays huge benefits. Beagle wants to go, get the. Turns out the other person needs time to process, and so do you. Just changes the whole dynamic. Just that one aspect. All these aspects do. It's contagious. Honesty is contagious. You know that's true. Faithfulness, open-mindedness. Maybe it's not exactly as you thought it was. Then they say, well, maybe it's not exactly as I thought it was either. And you start to join again. This makes a holy relationship possible. But it's because you're listening to your Holy Spirit instead of your unholy spirit. Okay. So, let's take a moment just to sit and just a couple of minutes to bring into focus this idea of faith. Because, you know, my goal tonight is that we would get a journey past the words. We're a journey past the words to what power, what leverage can faith have in your life? How important is this, what we're about to discuss? Be willing now, even at the beginning of this meditation, it's only going to be 5 minutes or so, to just leave words behind. I may say a few words, but you just pass them right by and go in the direction of the feeling that is evoked. As I say, and you do, value the truth. You value the truth. So you would have faith in the truth of any situation. You prefer it. And no matter what happens, what seems to happen in the future, you value what the truth will bring. You have faith in the truth. Your spiritual journey is a weeding out of the faults to reveal the truth. An undoing of your beliefs and things that are not true. And a celebration of certainty, kindness, and understanding of the power of truth. That truth is love. And it does touch you as love should, filling your heart and your mind at the same time. An alignment that only the truth can do. Have faith in that. To actually live a life in a body, but have your mind open to beyond the body. It does lead to a certain courage to do and say things that nobody who was in a precious ego could do or say. You're no longer protecting your ego. You maintain an ego, you know, it's functional, but it's different. You're not protecting it. was so much more free. So we're really talking about you trusting a new normal. The old normal came with a little bit of urgency and maybe even panic, you know, the way the ego works. It's based on loss. Even the gains that the ego makes is trying to prevent loss. So we're talking about a whole different way of thinking, a different normal. But it's so much more certain. It's so much more from the heart. Like I say, this is a feeling you get when you're listening to your Holy Spirit. It's a feeling you get that gives you confidence to go ahead, not trying to figure out the outcome. The ego does the math all the time, and it's always watching out for how is this going to make things worse, or what trouble am I going to get into, or how hard is this going to be for me if I agree to this, things like that. But if it's the truth, if you got this sense that what you're doing is altogether simply loving, it has the interest of all people in mind, for example, you're totally powered beyond the situation. You would need faith. Now, a little bit of word work before we jump in. You recognize that this idea of faith? See, faith means you don't know. Faith means that you're walking with a question, some kind of a question mark. For example, if I say, would you please feed my dog while I'm away? And that's why I got my jet ramp here. I'm going to Colorado next week. I'm still going to hold the meeting from wherever I end up in Colorado in that house. But would one of you come by and feed my dog? And he says, sure. I say, look, I made a copy of this key, but I'm in such a hurry to get to the airport. I don't know if it works. That means you don't know if it works. I said, but my God, I love my animals so much. Please don't forget to come feed my dog. And you're like, well, I won't forget, but what about that key? I got to go. Goodbye. Somebody else has the original. I can't give it to you. You have to use this one. So now I said, but it's a really good key maker. It's the best in town. I've never had a key not work from these people. It's just fine. You're like, yeah, sure. But okay. So what that is a concept. It's a copy of the key, and you'll get in to feed the animals. They won't die on your watch because you have a key. It's a concept, right? That's the beginning in your mind, like a spiritual concept. The next step is you have a belief. Andrew said it's the best key maker in town. I believe this key is going to work. I believe A Course in Miracles could actually make my life easier if I study it. I believe this. I believe the key will work. But you're not committed at all. It's just a thought in your head. We're moving our way up, right? Now it's become Tuesday and it's time to feed the dog. It's time for you to get in the car and drive to my house, and that animal's hungry. That's where faith is. When you agreed and you're going to act on it, and you're now going to do something that matters, like be patient and do not attack when you feel like attacking, because you know you're right in a relationship. The Course says, choose peace. Give up attack thoughts. Life will go better. But that faith is actually acting on your beliefs. So you got the key now, you go up, you put it in the door, and it works fine. You turn it, opens the door, it's all good. You do not need faith anymore. Come back next, you know, tomorrow, no problem. The key works. Your fears are gone, the energy level goes down, all your uncertainties are gone, right? You do not need faith anymore. This happens with your Course in Miracles when you get in a difficult situation and you do decide to choose peace, or you do decide to use forgiveness to let go of the difficult parts, even though you're still there for the details. Forgiveness lets go of the judgments, the loss, and the harm. Those are all emotions for the ego. You're still going to deal with your life and do what you do, but you'll do it without fear, without anger, without attack, without judgment. That's like taking the key and saying, okay, I'm going to have faith that this key works and I'll be able to feed this person's animals and not kill them on my watch or have to break their window or something. But once you have crossed that bridge, once you have actually used the ideas presented in this book and you found yourself more peaceful, you no longer need faith. You might, you know, deny that it works in all situations and stuff, you know, so you'll work your way through it. But I'll tell you, this is the way spiritual awakenings occur, is you actually have progress made where a situation, like many of you have told stories, where you've applied the Course in Miracles in your life and the energy level just dropped down and people were hugging by the end and, you know, many times you've had the relief that comes from actually trusting the words and the exercises that you've done. And you take it with you into the world. This now, like for me, it's just so quick. There's not even a time lapse now. I watch things happen in my life where an obvious loss is occurring. Something happened the other day. It was ridiculous. Anyway, details. I don't get the sense of loss anymore. Because none of the losses last. I'm addicted to peace. I'm addicted to beyond, to my life and my spirit beyond the body. And so that just fills in my thoughts and it fills my heart right back up and I'm interested in what's next. So yeah. God, you see the other day, something pretty horrible happened. I don't know. I'll just use another, I mean, there's so many examples and start thinking about it. So I was doing tree work yesterday, and so I'm up about maybe 30 or 40 feet in a tree. I'm hanging on my ropes. I got my chainsaw, cutting some branches off. And a branch falls, pretty good sized branch, maybe it's 500 pounds. And it hits my ladder. And the ladder is about 20 feet, hits the ladder and it breaks the ladder in half. It bends it sideways. And the ladder is kind of one of my safety devices that I can get back down. There's other ways to get down because I have all the equipment, gaffs and ropes and things. But I'd already dropped 5 or 6 other 200 or 300 pound branches on my rope already. So the rope was pinned to the ground and getting tighter and tighter. Doesn't mean you can't use it. It just means that you gotta take a minute and check your equipment and get some slack and all that. So right then, you know, this branch came down and cracked the ladder, bent it with a pretty good bend in it, you know, 30 degree, 20 degree bend in it. And, no matter what happens in that situation, I'm still going to just, you know, live through it. It serves no positive benefit to panicking or attacking myself for not cutting the branch the other way or 5 other things I could have done. I'm a peace addict, and I work through the details of that complex situation in peace. And you know what? I had more energy when I was done. Remember, I'm hanging on a tree with gaffs and ropes and arms and stuff. It is quite physically strenuous to be at the, and it was not a straight tree. It's at a lean. So everything takes extra muscles. But I had more energy when I was done with managing the rope, getting enough slack, and being certain that I was safe to continue. Even the ladder was gone. It was one of my, like I say, one of my doors to exit the tree had just been removed. Handling all that with a sense of peace left me with more energy. And if I was having a conversation with somebody, of course, I would be calm and they would not be panicked either. It was just me in this case. But it's one of those times when I just appreciate having the power of faith and peace and using it in a situation that just made my life better. So there's all sorts of examples, you know, where I was more capable of a human and more capable of communicating just by being peaceful and not panicking. Yeah, it is a tool. Absolutely, it's a tool to manage your life. Cecily.
So I wonder if you can talk about, like, let's say there's a conflict with someone in your life. And, you know, as I see it, and on trying to maintain peace, you can just, you know, look past it, forgiveness, and just, you know, kind of carry on as if that never even happened. Or, you know, have like a conversation with someone if it needs to be like addressed, but in a very like peaceful and loving manner. But I don't know, like sometimes I get confused which is the best route to take, because sometimes I'm like, just don't even think about it.
Here's the best route. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Cecily. The best route is not to avoid and try to be nice, because that's a lie and you're worried or you want to attack. And so that's difficult. I mean, it may eventually work, but it's not the best route. Or just to overlook it and forget what they just said or what just happened. All that's a lie. And you know, it keeps you from maybe taking a swing or something. It doesn't work, because the loss is still received and the anger goes up and it will come out either immediately or later. No. Here's the best route when a conflict comes up in relationship. It's to do the exact opposite of what the ego was suggesting. Ego says you need to fix them because they said or did wrong. The key is to take a moment and just say, wait a minute. And I'll tell you, you don't need to analyze this. You can use your gut and you go the opposite way that your ego is about to have you go. Just try it for 1 minute. You can always go back to your ego maneuver, beat them over the head until they say they're sorry. But try this instead. You got a conflict. It feels like it's unfair, or something wrong was said, or a lie has come up, or something like that. Rather than the instant defense or attack back, you do the exact opposite of what your ego is going to do, and instead, you go and ask them to explain themselves some more. What does this mean to you? How did you see what I said or what they did? Tell me more. Get close to them. Seek first to understand before being understood. This is the key that the ego hates, because it thinks you're giving the other person higher ground because they get to say it all first. But I'll tell you, by you actually putting down your weapons and asking for clarification, having them explain exactly what they mean, once they get their first couple of words out, you'll notice their energy starts to go down. And you say, well, tell me some more about where you heard this or what made you feel this way. Just want to make sure, what did I say again? You know, where did I, what did you hear me say? You know, this is important. This sounds really important to you. And they'll say, well, I heard you say this, you know, and then you could sort, suddenly things will drop out of what they're saying. Sometimes that solves the whole problem. Or you'll learn something about them you did not know, and you were out of line. You'll say, you know what? Now that I recognize that's how they feel, I really should have given them more time. That seems kind of fair. You know, things like that. But I'm just saying, you've got to go the opposite, the exact opposite of what the ego is going to have you do. Ross.
Are you familiar with the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by, who's that by?
Who wrote that book?
Yeah, because that's one of his 7 habits. It's almost word for word what you said. Seek first to be understood, or first, seek first to understand, and then, you know, first seek to understand, then to be understood.
Yes.
Well, word for word of what you've said that a couple of times that I've heard.
Well, that's great. Yeah, and I think I have definitely heard that from wise people along the way in more than one place. And Stephen Covey, is that it?
That's it. It's Stephen Covey.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other one he always says is it's one of the habits.
Oh, St. Francis, we're going back another couple hundred years where Stephen Covey heard it.
Always go for win-win. In other words, you know, and the example he uses on his tape is, oh, well, you know, close that window, damn it, right? And, well, first seek to understand. Why do you want me to close the window? Well, it's blowing my papers around. Oh, instead of knee-jerk reaction, no, I want the window open. Yeah, close. No, well, I didn't understand it was blowing your papers around. Well, maybe we can come to some kind of thing where it's win-win, right? So we'll move your desk, and then it's away from the window, and then we can have the window open, and we can have that fresh air that I want. And so you go for win-win. So, and there's you know, 5 others, but yeah.
Which would be tolerant, open-minded, which would be a willingness to not defend yourself, no defense needed, but rather understand. Yes. That sounds to me like you're willing to have a holy relationship with that person where it's a win-win.
So the argument that I have with my daughter almost consistently nowadays is I say something or she says something. I don't understand what she's saying, at least that's what she says, and she doesn't understand what I'm trying to say. And so instead of trying to explain myself, I should say, what did I say that made you think that was what I said?
You better believe it. And what will happen is your daughter will start to explain herself, explain what she heard you say. You will be picking up words that are meaningful to her. You'll be picking up examples and situations. If you listen, she will give you what you need to communicate to her.
Okay.
It'll be a lot easier.
And it's a lot more effective if I find out what she means and use her ways than it is for me to say, but I didn't say that. That's not what I meant or whatever. Or how come you always take it the wrong way?
Yeah, that's right.
That doesn't work with her either.
You have to get past the attack and defense cycle, mm-hmm. which happens very quickly and naturally. And so the only way you can do it is one of you has to put your sword down, and it won't be them. It's Miracle Principle 8. Everybody, look at the front of the book. Miracle Principle 8. I mean, it takes a miracle. But you're actually going to invite a miracle by doing this. That's why it's one of the miracle principles. Miracle Principle 8. Luann, would you read that for us?
Miracles are healing because they supply a lack.
Oh, by the way, it's page 3 in the front of your book.
Miracles are healing because they supply a lack. They are performed by those who temporarily have more for those who temporarily have less.
Yes. So in your situation with your daughter, you temporarily have patience that she does not have. Oh. You temporarily have a tolerance or an open-mindedness that she does not have. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to listen to your Holy Spirit. And so you can give her control and you'll pick up words and examples and details, and you might even get to, if you're listening to your Holy Spirit, you will know that if she's upset, she's never upset for the reason she thinks.
Okay.
And because she mentioned it, you're not upset because of the reason you think either. Jacqueline.
I just wanted to comment that we talked about defenselessness in one of the classes, and the next Zoom get together I had with a friend who I've been on defense with for years, you know, and I went into it really attempting and practicing defenselessness. And it was like a letting go of the body, everything, opening. It was a whole opening, and it felt very vulnerable. I wasn't able to do it the whole time we talked, but I just wanted to comment that the ego, it was so, especially when you've had an ongoing relationship with somebody where it's been defensive, it does feel, of course, I think the vulnerability is the ego, right? The ego is freaking out.
Yeah.
Probably. So it was a powerful experience just to try that, especially with somebody where that's, you know, I felt like I had to defend almost all the time. Even we've had a long time friendship, but it made me realize how I'm always defending myself with that person and really wanting to shift that with defenselessness. So wow. It's a powerful thing to practice.
Indeed. Very, very good, Jacqueline. That took faith.
Yeah. And a real desire to just come at peace, be at peace with that person, which is helpful with all people.
A real desire to raise the experience out of unholiness.
Yes.
Out of attack and defense. To raise it up to honesty, trust, in something bigger. Something beyond the little petty words. Yeah. This is how you invite a holy relationship to blossom. It can be pretty ugly. And like you said, you have some vulnerable feelings, and unless you keep choosing peace, you might find yourself snapping back with a vengeance. but you know how you feel. You know how honesty feels. You know how patience feels. You know how it feels to not attack. So keep it up. It pays huge benefits. We'll transform your experience. Timothy.
Yeah. I realized as I'm scrolling through the beginning of the text, in particular the 50 rules, there are pages and pages and pages of extra material here that do not appear in like edition 2 of the course.
This is one of the ways that I determine what version of the text you have. In the one that I've got, the Miracle Principles are over 100 pages long.
Yeah.
It's more than 50.
Yeah.
And then there's a version that came out called the JLC, or it's also called the Original Edition. And the Miracle Principles are like 16 or pages, somewhere around 20 pages. And then the one we have is 6 pages. The one that we have is published. They're nice and tidy and, you know, all for good reasons. A lot of that material has been distributed throughout the book, though. You'll find a lot of those paragraphs moved around and dropped in.
I was struck by this that I'm reading from lesson, I think, 43 it is in the Ur text. Depression comes from a particular pseudo-solution, which reads, a child of God is efficient. I am not efficient. Therefore, I am not a child of God. And this leads to a neurotic resignation. You know, it increases your depression.
Beautiful.
That misstatement about, you know, how that principle works.
And then believing in your judgment about yourself.
Absolutely.
And diminishing yourself, therefore you don't deserve to be happy. And then now where do you go? You're not deserving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. You bet. Course in Miracles, another way. You know, every once in a while I go around and ask people, what is it? You know, and for years for me, A Course in Miracles is a psychological journey to a spiritual awakening. A psychological journey. Words, and we're talking about dissociation and separation and depression and happiness and tolerance and patience. You know, it's psychological, the changes that we're asked to make in our mind. Change your mind, change your life. Sounds like psychology to me. And yet, you certainly have spiritual awakenings along the way. And the purpose of the book is not to give you a good life. It's to have you awaken back to your spiritual identity. If you can take those steps, this is a staircase. Even if you can't go that far, for this lifetime, whatever steps you do take on this staircase will be beneficial for sure. Yeah. Holly. I got your mute. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was sharing in the chat, I don't know if you guys have done the Wim Hof method. Is anybody familiar with that? So I was listening to this audiobook about his life, and I think all of you should read. I highly recommend it.
Each of you go around and recommend three books that you like that you think we should all know. This is A Course in Miracles.
Well, no. But the point is, like, it talks about having the cold shower every day. The reason I think it's just really impactful with what you're saying about keeping peace, mm-hmm. and so our bodies are supposed to experience cold, extreme cold, and it does things like helps with depression. If you do this every day, last 30 seconds of your shower, cold water, it helps with depression. It helps with illnesses. It helps with higher energy levels. To me, that all means to being in the Holy Spirit. And then he has a breathing method that I just did that I can put in the chat if you guys want. But like, it also puts you way close to God. Like I just feel like my ego is so quiet right now, and I just got done doing it, and I just feel like, it's another good tool to, like, stay in the moment and in the present moment and be clear-minded and be able to differentiate your ego and everything.
Yeah, you know, Holly, that's true. I have recommended that people do the cold shower thing just to experience the power of your mind over matter. It's shocking to have cold water. I mean, and you said do it at the end of the shower. That's very kind. I think step in the beginning of the shower. Your body will react. You'll run out of breath. You'll have a certain response that will happen where you'll be gulping for air. If you have a weak heart, don't do this. But if you're reasonably healthy, but then within a minute or two, you'll stop shaking and the water will see, okay. You know, the water comes into your house at a pretty decent temperature, actually. Swimming pool temperature.
And he has, like, scientific studies that this all works and is all good for depression. And it's even helped with diabetes. It's kind of crazy.
So what'd you call that? The Wim Hof method? I'm gonna make a breakout room for you. So if you want to talk more about it at the end of the meeting, I'm going to make a room for you. You can teach us all.
That would be awesome.
Wim Hof method with Holly in room 1. that would be interested. Awesome. All right. So my recommendation on that, like if you get a bee sting or if you stub your toe, is to actually choose peace right then and there and say, this is a body experience, to experience the power of your mind right then and there with the pain. And you'll find everything starts to calm down. Once you, because you won't be panicking and making it pain even worse with your anticipation of how bad things could get with your stubbed toe or your letter from the IRS. That's another one. You know, you're going through the mail and IRS, you know, you just stop right then. Take advantage of that shock moment before you know what's in there and say, I could choose peace right now instead of after my ego determines how bad it is. I could choose peace right now. And immediately you'll see the power of your mind. You won't forget it. So I'll say, if you don't have IRS letters coming, you know, go for the cold shower, go for the stubbed toe. Any inconvenience that happens to you, use your mind, the more quicker the better, and you'll just be proven to yourself the power of your mind, and then you lose excuses for having a bad day. That's one of the outcomes of doing the workbook, is that you lose your excuses for having a bad day. Not a bad superpower to gain while living in a body. Okay, everybody go to page 451 in the text. Page 451.
Andrew?
Yeah?
Before we do that, or after we do that, this might not be an appropriate place for it, but Luann and Jacqueline kept, and then you referred to a conversation that they were having, and there was something really good going on there, and that you might explore that later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
That's a good idea. I'm just curious about what you were talking about, and it sounded like there was some really good, real stuff going on.
Yeah, that's a good idea, because it works on our topic of faith, really. So, Jacqueline, would you like to share with us your miracle?
Okay. Well, it seemed really simple to me, but also I could tell it shifted. I don't know. I was just walking with my dog, and I just had the thought, well, if I'm not a body, then I don't need to be concerned with anything, you know, anything in my life or in the politics or the just. It sort of lifted. It just changed the perspective. I'm not a body. So all of that, and it doesn't take away still being here and living this life however we live this life, right? It doesn't change that. That still happens, but it lifts. It's hard to put it into words. You know, how do you put those things into words? It just shifted my perspective.
Seriously?
Yes. That's exactly what it's so appropriate for what we need to do tonight, because it's a feeling that she had. She did not have this analysis that she could put on paper or even tell us right now, but you can tell from the certainty in her voice.
Takes away the seriousness.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so my body's going to die. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't that the worst thing? I mean, isn't that the biggest hierarchy of illusions? Is this body's gonna die?
Yeah.
And if you can say, so what?
If you can say, I'm not a body.
Yeah.
Then it's
not all that serious anymore.
It's certainly a whole nother perspective.
And our lessons have been, I'm not a body. I am free. I'm still as God created. I've been saying that every day now in the reviews.
It got to you.
So I feel like that's how that happened, you know.
It has to. You know what? So that what she's talking about is in the workbook lessons. It has a review session. It goes on for 20 days. 20 lessons being reviewed. They're each surrounded by this phrase, I am not a body. I am free. For I'm still as God created me. It has you drone that into your head multiple times a day, every day, for so many days. I forgot. I counted it up once. I forgot how many it is. 1,500 times or it got to you. Because the truth of those words, it's a complete, though that little triad is the dogma of A Course in Miracles in three sentences, if you can hear it. It's both, it's a miracle, it's forgiveness, and it's the holy instant captured in three little phrases. And I'm not a body. That certainly take a miracle to get there. But when you recognize that you're not a body because you are free, it understates not being a body. You feel free. Bodies are not free. They're never free. Bodies are not free. They're not for free. You gotta keep them watered. You gotta keep them fed. You gotta sleep them. You got all this stuff. Bodies are not free. Gravity constantly. You have to walk. Why can't I just? No, you gotta walk. You're in a body. See, well, they're not free. Nothing about body is free. But if you do your coursework, you will find out you are free, and you have Jacqueline. You have touched freedom that is beyond words. Even just for a moment, you said, wait a minute, and you connected the two. Not a body, I am free. Why? How? What's the bigger picture? Well, because I'm still as God created me. I'm not as I made myself. These limits are a dream. It says so, and now I know it. I mean, it really is a beautiful circle. Barbara.
I really like the way Jacqueline said, you know, it's really hard to put into words, but you can feel the shift that happened for her in that simple moment. And you describe it as a feeling. I read through, and I mentioned this last week, I mentioned a particular part of the manual for teachers that I read that had a huge impact on me and just made me able to get back on the horse and go forward. But reading through the manual for teacher slowly, taking a part a day or so, I really experienced, and it is a feeling. It's like a shifting you deepen into it. And all of a sudden, the words have a bigger impact on you. And I was just reading this. I was trying to find it because I jotted a note about it as I was reading it. But it says, forgiveness is, and then the quote was, a better gift than this. And, you know, it's like the forgiveness that we're familiar with, the forgiveness that we've tried to feel all of our lives or make ourselves feel for people that we would like to forgive, that's not what this book is talking about, it seems like to me. It's a better gift than that. It's something deeper that you finally get in that feeling that Jacqueline was just talking about. And it's just such a rich feeling that you can have faith in it. You know, that's to me where that faith,
yes.
you have faith in it. You may not know it, but you know that it's known.
It starts with a belief that it's better. And then there's an act of faith somewhere, somehow, maybe doing your lessons. Act of faith where you actually try the bigger perspective. Then you get this little freedom. You breathe what I call the spiritual air, like mm-hmm. Jacqueline did. She mm-hmm. says, wait a minute. If I'm not a body, all this politics stuff and all the problems with the world, I don't have to actually fix it or worry about it. And she took a breath, a real breath of freedom in that moment. So that pays that dividend. Because of her act of faith somewhere along the way, she got a spiritual, you know, a holy instant. The holy instant, that's what you're witnessing. And that puts her mind at rest. It didn't happen to her. She just took a moment to not attack herself. And when she gave up the attack thoughts for a moment, she gave them all up. Didn't you, Jacqueline? I'm not a body. I mean, all my attack and defense thoughts are about the body. Freedom washed over her, and that's a holy instant. You can never take that back. You can't take that away from her. A healing has occurred in that moment. A healing has occurred in that moment. As she wakes up a little bit. You bet.
When I become aware that my brother, which is anybody, is the same as me, and I believe I am created by God as a child of God, then that's what makes me feel free, because I don't have anything against anybody when I'm recognizing they are, along with me, a child of God.
Oh, it's so much better to have that perspective. Life becomes fun again. Good, Luann. You bet. Invite love everywhere that way. Good. Okay, before we run out of time, we have to do our prerequisite reading so that you can actually say that we make progress. When you do Thursday night with Andrew, at least you do some progress on the book. Okay, page 451, paragraph 2. Jacqueline, I got your mute. When you get there, would you read paragraph 2 for us?
If you accept this change, you have accepted the idea of making room for truth. The source of sin is gone. You may imagine that you still experience its effects, but it's not your purpose and you no longer want it. No one allows a purpose to be replaced while he desires it, for nothing is so cherished and protected as is a goal the mind accepts. Mm-hmm. This it will follow grimly or happily, but always with faith and with the persistence that faith inevitably brings. The power of faith is never recognized if it is placed in sin, but it is always recognized if it is placed in love.
When Jacqueline described the idea that she was no longer vulnerable, she's not a body. These things aren't going to hurt her. Why worry about it? She placed her faith in love for a moment. And she got love. No longer in a lost situation. That has an effect on your soul. That has an effect of dismissing a whole category of ego thoughts. And a whole depth of darkness to which you can never go again, by the way. These holy instances have a way of raising your bottom, raising the floor of what you can possibly experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a healing. Ross.
Well, I guess I'll admit that my problem now is I get annoyed by people who take things seriously, which is another whole thing. It's like, I don't take them seriously. Why are these other people taking COVID so seriously and Trump so seriously? You know, and it's right back into it, just on the other side, back going, I can't win. I'm not bothered by world events. And then
right.
I'm more bothered by people being bothered by world events.
Yeah. You're making me think about how bad it is or was for me, and you're wasting your time, which means you're wasting my time.
Yeah, it's just another, you know, thing to get over. But I'm just admitting that's my struggle.
Yeah, indeed. There's a little section of the book that talks about that, when it says that you have to be able to, you will never. Be unaware of the ego, because if you were, you would not be able to understand your brother who has not yet taken the steps you have. That's me paraphrasing, but it's essentially what that paragraph says.
Yeah. Well, you know, I catch it.
Yeah.
In mid-rant.
Yeah.
or bite my tongue and, oh, yeah, Trump. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Bye, Cecily. Good to see you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. So, of course, the change we're talking about in paragraph two is the change from having your, you know, the ego's purpose for the for a relationship to the Holy Spirit's healing purpose for the relationship, a different type of fairness. It is you're not arguing and bargaining, trying to win, and then, you know, there's a whole nother way to approach it we've been talking about, where you take the higher, a much higher ground. For Luann, it's particularly specific for the, what you were describing with your daughter, not bargaining with her. Some of your truth, some of her truth, and then let's see who's more true. You know, it's a really hard way to go, isn't it? It ends up with some face slapping and attacking. You say some things you didn't mean, but you really wanted to make your point. That can be very expensive in a relationship.
My point being, she's not listening to what I'm saying.
And why would she, right? Yeah, you're just defending yourself. You're just showing her how guilty you are because you're defending yourself so much.
Oh, okay.
In her head, right? Right? Because you're playing the part of a guilty ego.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. There's a much better way, and it's going the exact opposite way the ego would have you go. We'll take the air out of her balloon. It takes two to tango. That saying is so true.
So what I could say, is this the same thing as saying, tell me more about that, is what did I say to make you think that's what I said?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Sure you can. Yeah, just don't defend yourself right away.
Okay.
Yeah, try not to attack with your tone of voice, though, you know. You really have to be compassionate. You really have to want to feel what they feel to understand them first. That takes some guts. But if you really want to understand why somebody said what they said, try to get to where you can actually feel what they felt. Well, I guess if I heard somebody say that to me, I would be upset too. And you're right. You, even though you didn't say it, you didn't mean it that way if you did say it, but you need to get there first. They will see on your face and you have joined with them. You didn't write them off. It's just because you're willing to have them be as important as you. That's how a holy relationship works. When they're happy, you're happy. And you know what? When they're happy, you are happy.
Yeah, that's true.
You're happier. It's a beautiful dance of love. Ross.
I'm never happy unless they're happy.
Yeah, they're unhappy. You're not going to be happy. Ross. Yeah.
There's a technique I learned, and it's called feel, felt, found. So, I know how you feel. I felt the same way myself. So feel, felt, and then, but here's what I found. So
nice. Feel, felt, nice. Found. It's great. It's great. Yeah. A way to join. And honestly, from your own experience, which is believable. Yeah. Saying, I think you should, is like an attack. But saying, I did this when, much gentler, you bet. Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about making room for the truth, paragraph two, by allowing the Holy Spirit, by allowing yourself to be gentle, understanding, tolerant, to have faith that love can handle this argument, for example. This would be making room for the truth. If you just use your ego to fight their ego, you're both pretending you know why you're upset. But you know from early, the first 10 lessons, you're not upset for the reason you think, and you're preoccupied with past thoughts, and so are they. So you know what? Back off. Let the Holy Spirit come in and sweeten this otherwise ugly situation. Make room for the truth. Beautiful, beautiful. Sentence two. The source, it's italicized for emphasis. The source of sin is gone. In the Course in Miracles, sin means separation ultimately. It means a mistake that shouldn't be forgiven.
A sin is an unforgivable mistake. They should have loved you more and never should have said what they said, says the ego. But the source of that division is gone. If you back off and open your heart instead, you may imagine that you still experience the effects of, you know, the loss, for example, of sin, or the division of sin, or the mistake that you're allowing them to now describe. Are you kidding me? You're going to let them describe all these lies? You may imagine that you're still experiencing its effects, but it's not your purpose, and you no longer want it. You no longer want to be a body, Jacqueline. What? That's huge. Before, it was your only way to survive. Good night, Holly. Being a good body and a healthier body was a way to survive. We're out of time. We're almost out of time. Okay. I'm going to speed up a little bit. Forgive me. No one allows a purpose to be replaced while he desires it. That's why the miracle's required. That's why your Course in Miracles workbook lessons, when you're sitting on a cushion and actually working through some things with the Holy Spirit, is required. So you can change your purpose of your mind and find that you do have the power to choose peace. Changes the purpose of what you're doing. Okay. The mind accepts it. It's true for you. If you think that they are a dirty, rotten SOB, beep, then they are. But if you open your mind, you can make room for truth. Seek to understand, and you might find an actual call for love in that hated thing that they said. Okay, so whatever you believe, this will follow grimly or happily, but always with faith and with the persistence of the faith brings. Faith does bring consistency, even for the wrong thing. But that's why you're studying A Course in Miracles, to start to get faith in the right thinking, to start getting faith in the bigger picture. How can I be loving? Raise your faith in that. The power of faith is never recognized if it's placed in sin, and that's because sin, the idea of separation and mistakes that are unforgivable, is completely shifting and changing. It has no lasting value, and so your faith in it will never pay the dividends. However, when you have faith in love, when you have faith in being honest, trusting, patient, inclusive, open-minded, non-defensive, when you have faith in that, it will change, it will heal your soul, and that you will recognize the power in, because you will take it with you as a strength in the rest of your being, not just your life and a body. You have to understand that you have a being as an extension of God, and it's not your life and a body, but you do have a being. And whatever choices you make here that invite love, they do heal your being. So it's all, 193 is true. All things are lessons God would have me learn. All things, for all time. Just a little side note. Faith is always recognized when it's placed in love. For that reason, you can't, love, it has the quality of creation. So you can keep it. But illusions are fantasy. You can't keep them. Only if you rehearse them. But when you have a thought of love cross your mind, it moves you to right thinking, heals your mind. This actually brings you into a miracle worker, brings you into a teacher of God, brings you back to creation. That's the effect of having love thoughts, is it puts you back into creative power. It wakes you up, literally. So, I know, it's definitely the right vector. It's amazing that this is what this book gives us, you know, the ability to wake back up to our creative, eternal nature. So let's do it, you know, let's come back next week and do it again. I'll take you through another paragraph. in an hour and a half. Oh, well. Thanks, everybody, for studying Course in Miracles with me. And I'll be in a closet or something, or in the car. I don't know where I'm going to be next week, but I'm going to keep up. I'll see you in the meeting then.